This is MindSpeak. Everything you thought you knew about health is about to be turned on its head. I'm Holly Higgins, a nutritional therapy practitioner, and I'm here to show you how your mind can heal your body can heal your mind, and no matter what you've been told, you are in the driver's seat of your life. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking all about whether you should break up with your doctor or practitioner, and not just whether or not you should break up with them, but what a healthy relationship with a doctor, a practitioner, a therapist, or a coach should look like, and how you can create one. Because I hear from people all the time that they secretly struggle with these relationships, and maybe they're in a relationship with some kind of health provider that doesn't quite feel right, but they really don't know what to do and they feel stuck. And the fact of the matter is, this is a two-way street, and at the end of the day, it's all about your healing and progress. So you need to make sure you feel confident in the relationship, you feel good about the direction you're headed in. So we're going to give you a ton of tips on that today. I could have done this episode myself, but I wanted to bring on a special guest who I knew would add a lot to the conversation. So we are welcoming my OG friend, Michael Rutherford. He is a nutritional therapy practitioner, and he works primarily with truck drivers through letstruck.com. Really, really interesting stuff that he does over there. He educates his clients on the importance of real food, the power of nutrient density, and he makes tea that's really, really loud.
Okay, we're good.
Oh my gosh. It also sounds like a flushing toilet. Lots of nice background music. Okay, the power of nutrient density and how a balanced lifestyle can optimize health and wellness. He is also a primal health coach, and he studied culinary arts at Le Cordon Bleu. Did I say that right, Michael?
That was, I think, as accurate as you could say it. I don't even think I could get it that accurate.
Oh my gosh. Michael, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here. And I always tell people, everyone is Sims, because my dad is also an NTP, that he, of course, naturally was the one who got me into doing this and convinced me, because he was first. And I always have to tell people that you, in fact, were the one who really pushed me over the edge. And it's not that my dad didn't want me to. He has just always been very hands-off. He never pushed me in any direction. He always let me do my own thing. He always supported whatever journey I wanted to take. And he knew I wanted to do the NTA. But even when I had a scholarship, I got a scholarship offer from them, and I still was on the fence because so many things were going on in my life. And you're like, no, you need to just suck it up, buttercup, and do it. And it's obviously gone very well for me now.
Absolutely. More than happy to push you off the cliff anytime.
Yes.
Your dad might be hands off, but I'm not. I'm like, go in the deep end. You can do it. So Michael, you and I, we've both worked with quite a few clients, a lot of clients, you know, in different capacities. And I know one of the most common things that we hear is, we hear from clients is, I tried to talk to my doctor and they totally blew me off, or I'm in therapy and I feel like I'm not really getting anywhere. So why do you think this dissatisfaction in healthcare relationships or coaching relationships is so prevalent these days?
Oh, there are so many levels to this. Let's see how many we can tackle. So first of all, what I tell people is the biggest problem with Western medicine and allopathic medicine in our current medical system, and it's really the system, is it's become a religion. Mm. It's an indoctrination system into this. This is what it is. You have to believe this. And it starts all the way back when they're going to school and what they're taught and how that's controlled. And then you have, again, as a system where these doctors just simply don't have the time to sit down and know a person. They see a piece of paper, and that's just how it is. It's either a piece of paper or a computer screen now, not even facing the person, because their back is to the patient and they're facing a computer screen. It's completely detached. It's like they literally don't physically see the person in front of them. So there's no way that they can have this mental emotional connection to them as well. So there's so many things just kind of fighting this. And these doctors, I always tell people, it's like, we can't be upset at the individual doctors most of the time. Again, because it's the system on every level. I've worked in a functional medicine clinic with a doctor where we took insurance. It's a nightmare. It is just a complete nightmare to try and make that work because it's set up in so many different ways. They just have to see so many patients a day. You're lucky to get 10 or 15 minutes with an actual doctor. And you're there for what, an hour and a half? I went to an urgent care. I got a fishing hook in my finger a couple of weeks ago and went to urgent care. And I think I was there for over an hour and I saw someone for about 8 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Like,
and that's once I was probably back in the back, actually in a room for probably 30 minutes. I was sitting there mostly just kind of just waiting. And I was like, I don't even know what everyone was doing. There was like no one else there. So I was like, what's even going on? Like, I was like the last person they were accepting. I didn't even see any other people. Everything about the system has really disconnected the doctor from the individual. And that just makes it really frustrating for everyone.
So it's a combination of just how the system is set up and, you know, quotas that they have to meet, churning patients in and out. And it's also this thing where your doctor doesn't even really see you, and he might be giving you a protocol and medications and you might be following it to a T, but he or she doesn't know about the rest of the factors in your life, lifestyle, diet, exercise, relationships. Like, they don't know who you are as a person. And so it's really hard to guide you as a person.
Totally. And they're not even taught those things. They're just not even taught that even matters. Like, it's like, nope, it's just chemicals. Like, we just need to give this chemical imbalance that's happening. So we need to give this chemical and that's it. And there's no understanding or teaching or realization of how many things sure, at the bottom of it, it's all chemicals, but how many outside influences, your food, your lifestyle, your community and the connections you have and all of these other things that you and I get and grasp influence all of those chemicals at such a deep level. They're not taught any of that. So it's, again, it's this belief system. And if that's not part of it, then they have no understanding of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to touch on this because, you know, we're talking right now mostly about relationships with a primary care physician in, you know, your standard Western medical healthcare system. But I know dissatisfaction happens in other types of relationships too. So relationships with a therapist or even relationships with integrative or functional practitioners. You know, I know several people and I myself have been dissatisfied in relationships with more integrative practitioners. So I want to ask, how much of it is the system's fault and how much of it goes back to just simply being an advocate for yourself? And what can patients or clients do to make sure that they've established clear communication with a healthcare practitioner? And, you know, is it important to set expectations and goals up front so you're both on the same page? Like, how can patients and clients set themselves up for success in a relationship with any kind of practitioner?
Yes, definitely. This definitely, you have to be your own advocate, right? Like, no one else is going to be. You have to do that for yourself. So if you're dissatisfied, one, you need to speak up. Two, if you have goals and things that you need to address, you got to speak up. I have all the time, before any consult I do with a person, I don't just want to see their lab work and, you know, any kind of data or paperwork on them that are just symptoms and different than data. I want to know what their goals are, because I'm going to try and mesh that. I'm going to see, okay, here's the problems I do see with you. And this is some things we need to address, but is that also in line with your goals? Cause I'm here to help you. Like, that is my goal and should be any practitioner's goal, is to help the person with what they want. Now, again, if that is completely misaligned with actual health, then we can have that conversation. Hey, that may not be a really healthy goal. So let's talk about that. But more often than not, their goals are healthy. And mm-hmm. So we need to kind of, as a practitioner, meet them where they are. But at the same time, as a patient or client, you have to express that. If you have specific goals instead of just, oh, I want to be healthy. You know, if you have certain things, you've got to express it. You have to be able to stand up for yourself.
Yeah. So what I'm really hearing from you, and I would agree with this too, is it all goes back to communication and having good communication and advocating for yourself. And I think that is really at the root of all of this. And a question that I have is, how can a client or patient patient really lead a relationship with a healthcare provider when they often feel lost, broken, and helpless, and they want to be led? Like, they want to just, like, I feel so broken, please just tell me what to do, is the mode that a lot of people are living in. But how do you balance that with also needing to be your own advocate? It gets a little bit tricky. And sometimes I think that's where we trip up on communication, is like, as a patient or client, sometimes we just want somebody to save us, when really, like, it's a dance and you need to not only be led by the practitioner, but also help to lead the relationship.
And that is where it gets tough, because we've got to stand up for ourselves, but sometimes we do need the practitioner to kind of take that first step of direction. And that's, man, that can just be a tough journey. I think it just comes down to finding that practitioner who can be empathetic with you, right? And connect and be like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I see you. I know, like, you're kind of leaning on me, but I also, hey, I'm going to need you to kind of guide me along here. What is it that you really want? Like, let's sit down and just talk. And that's where it's tough, because at that point you feel so worn out, and the last thing you want to do is check out four different doctors or four different practitioners, but sometimes you just might need to. And that's just that tough thing where you've just, you got it. Like, you've got to put in that effort. You have to do something for yourself. Chances of finding that person on the first interview, probably unlikely. Now, it happens. You might get really lucky, especially if you look in the right area of practice. If you look, you know, your chances of going to a regular MD and getting that, rare. It happens, rare. Your chances of going to a functional medicine doctor, you've got a better shot, at least. So at least up your odds with the type of practitioner you're going to connect with, who gets this bigger whole picture. But I know plenty of functional medicine doctors I wouldn't recommend ever.
I know. And that's a really important point. You know, I think in our society, we have this tendency to look at doctors as God. And now, you know, many of us are waking up to the fact that doctors aren't God. But then we hear functional medicine or functional medicine doctors, and we think, like, ooh, those people are God. If I go to somebody who's a functional medicine doctor, they're going to be an amazing practitioner. They're going to be fabulous. It's going to be exactly what I need. I just need somebody who practices functional medicine. And we're just creating more gods, when really all humans are fallible. And, like, any kind of practitioner, whether it's a functional medicine doctor, an NTP, a therapist, like, just like with regular humans, like, not all of them are great. And you have to be on the lookout.
Yeah, that is literally, we can look at that in every, this isn't medicine, this is every single career ever. There are great people, and there are people not so great at that job. The medicine is not immune to that.
Yeah. And I think the whole point here is we have this tendency to put practitioners, therapists, doctors, you know, these people that we think can quote unquote save us before we learn better and know that we all have to save ourselves with the help of others. We put these people on pedestals, when really they're all just humans. And just like in any other area of life, you know, dating, coworkers, all these other relationships, it's the same with a healthcare practitioner. Like, you have to be on the lookout for yourself. And that's not to scare anybody, but that's just, I see this tendency where people worship their practitioners, and no, they're just humans like the rest of us. And you have to, it is like dating, you have to find the right match. And just like you, I've had a lot of clients overwhelmed, especially, you know, when I refer a client out for therapy. You know, I think it'd be really great if you got matched up with a good therapist. You know, I recommend interviewing a few, going on some quote unquote dates to see who you click with. And they're like, I don't want to have to tell four people my emotional life story. Like, oh.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I want to kind of go back, and I know this is kind of a common theme on this podcast and your belief and just what you continue to preach, but that really kind of helping people to understand no one can fix you.
Right.
It really comes down to you and your body. So much, and that goes for every single problem. I don't care if you break a leg. The doctor doesn't actually heal the broken leg. They reset the bone so that your body can then be in the correct environment to do the healing. They don't regrow your bone for you. All they do is give you the right environment and put that bone back where it should be so that your body can regrow that bone tissue back together. Your body is the only thing that can actually heal itself. Mm-hmm. Nothing else does. We give food and supplements and nutrients and sun and community to give it the right environment so that it can do what it's supposed to do. So it's really, we are the only ones who can truly fix ourselves. We can use these people to guide us and help us figure out what our body needs to do that. But we have to understand at some point, we can only save ourselves in the end.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk for a minute about labs. So it's really crazy because the labs that are often the most beneficial and insightful, I'm talking like full thyroid panel, vitamin D levels, vitamin B levels, things like that. The things that are often the most beneficial and insightful are often the ones that doctors won't order. And as a client and a patient, it can be really hard to push for these because there's often pushback and sometimes even belittling from the physician, especially in a more conventional primary care setting. So what advice do you have for clients who are struggling to secure the labs that they need and the labs that they want?
Yeah, so there are so many levels to this again. So first off, one of the problems, again, this comes back to lack of education. Most doctors, even endocrinologists who are supposed to be trained in the endocrine system, all of our hormones, don't even know how to understand and read an entire thyroid panel. They don't even know what they mean. So for them, it's pointless to order it because even if something comes out of range, they have no idea what to do. They don't know what to tell you. So that's really frustrating. And so part of that is ego, right? They don't want to tell you, I don't know what to do with this. So some of it is ego. And then some of it is, you know, they're so, well, that's, you know, your insurance isn't going to cover it. I'm like, I don't care. I'll pay for it. Just order the dang thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if I get it. I've never been diagnosed as hypothyroidism. So they're not going to cover anything past the TSH, but I need to know. I'll pay. And some doctors won't. And it's super frustrating. I had a great example, an ND, for my boy's mother a couple of years ago, and she deals with seasonal depression. We live in the Pacific Northwest. He wanted to order a vitamin D. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
What? She has a long history of seasonal depression. We live in the Northwest. It's like January. Why? I requested it. It didn't come up. And it was funny. We left, right? I was like, fine. Here was the list. Cool. I'll order these. Comes back. He ordered like 3/4 of the list. I'm like, cool. We won't stay here. Went to a different naturopath, and he was like, and he's looking at the labs. I'm like, yeah, you know, they didn't run the vitamin D. And he's like, oh, well, these are still pretty good, you know, for an MD, medical doctor. And I'm like, mm-hmm. No, this was an ND. And we live in a small town. He's like, who? And I said the doctor's name. He's like, he didn't order a vitamin D. He's like, he trained here for 10 years before he opened his own practice. He knows better. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. So it can be super frustrating. I get that. So one, it's the doctors sometimes won't be trained in that, or the insurance won't be covered. That can be a really tough battle. But on the other hand, I'm not a fan of clients because most of the time they're not going to know how to understand those labs. A lot of these more complex labs, because it's not just black or white. A lot of times it's relationships with other values and different things. And, you know, you could look at magnesium, for example. Serum magnesium, which is the standard, is absolutely garbage. It doesn't tell us anything. We want to see an RBC magnesium, which is inside the red blood cell, which is where we want it. So it's like, you might be like, hey, test my magnesium. And you don't realize that you need an RBC magnesium, and the doctor is not going to know that because they're just trained to run a serum. So there's, and then it's like, you may not know how to interpret it as an individual. Do you know how to interpret a full thyroid panel where you have to look at the relationship of reverse T3 to free T3 and not just, oh, my reverse T3 is in range. I'm great. So it can be troublesome because you might get the labs and you're like, oh, look, I'm fine. And now I just spent all that money. And now I feel even more hopeless when in fact the labs actually do give us the information we need. So there's that struggle of right. Getting these more complex tests, but there is options, and it's becoming more and more easy to self-order labs. I have no connection to any website on labs, but the one I recommend the most for people, they have hundreds of labs you can get, is lifeextension.com. Okay. They have a ton of, and they are really affordable. The standard online self order self-pay. You can't use insurance or anything, but the self-pay for a full thyroid panel, the average IC is $230 to $240. Their price is $199.
Oh my goodness.
So it's a really great, heck, it's on sale for November right now for $160. They'll put their labs on sale. Like, how cool is that? Like, random labs will go on sale at a time. Relatively affordable. Again, self-ordering anywhere else is $230, $240. There's options out there. There's several other websites out there as well, again, that you can sell. I mean, if you just look up self-order, self-pay medical labs, you can find probably five different websites that we can do this now, which is off. Now, of course, there are some states that are like, you can't do that here. I think New York is one of them.
New York.
Pennsylvania is weird on like a couple. There's some labs that you can't order. It's weird in Pennsylvania. My girlfriend lives there and we had to ship a stool sample here and then I had to ship it to her and then she could send it to the office. Right? Like those are relationship conversations you want to have.
You're dating an NTP when you send poop.
And she's a primal health coach, so it's totally fine.
Oh, it's totally fine.
Normal conversations. Normal conversations.
Absolutely. Honey, how's your stool?
Pretty much. Like, babe, I went to the bathroom today. It was great.
How's your Bristol looking?
Right as I sip tea. Thank you. It's just almost
you're welcome.
Just showered, I'll just have you showered the computer there.
All over the screen.
But yeah, so it's, you know, there are options are becoming more and more available. You're going to have to pay for it. It's not going to be covered by insurance, but it's available. So you can get that and then take it to a practitioner who might understand those things. Again, it's out of pocket. So that's not feasible for everyone. Some of these can be, you can spend $1,000 in a blink of an eye on some of these tests.
Yeah. So it's about prioritizing those. And then also just what you mentioned, like you can order all of these, but do you know how to read them? And it's about partnering up with a practitioner who does know how to read them so that you're not just flushing money down the toilet on labs. There's a lot of companies out there that promote like self-testing. I'm not going to name any names, but because I don't want to get in trouble, but they make it seem like, we'll just test your hormones and you'll figure out what's wrong with you. And okay, they might test your hormones, but you really need an eye for interpreting that stuff.
It is not black and white interpretation, especially with hormones. And if you get the right testing where you've got metabolites of hormones and all these different things going on, it's complex. There are so many different tests where even stool samples where it's not just looking at singular values, but the relationships of so many different values. Because there's a guy I worked with when I was in the functional medicine clinic. He was another functional medicine doctor that worked in the same office. And that man was a lab genius. My goodness, he could be flipping through a 6-page report on like an amino acid profile or an O test or stool sample and tell you what's going to be on the next page. He's like, oh, I bet this is a, and I'm like, what in the world? Like, because it's all about relationships. So this is elevated and that's elevated and this is lowered. He knows it's going to create this other problem. And that's where it gets super complex. You can't just be like, oh, well, this is elevated. So here's, and that's where I see a lot of practitioners like, oh, this is elevated. So here's this. This is elevated. So here's this. Genome testing, genetic testing is the same way. You know, we have thousands and thousands. We have 23,000 genes. There's like 26 genes related to methylation. You might have the MTHFR gene. Doesn't mean you need to take folate. I took mine and I ran mine through. And I had one gene mutation that told me I need to take methyl B12. And I had another one that told me I shouldn't take methyl B12. What the hell do I do now?
Right. I see people, and I've done this in the past too, like really simplifying the whole MTHFR equation of like, oh, I have MTHFR. I must need all these things. And it's just one part of the equation. And I think the MTHFR thing became a huge meme in the health space and people took it really far when really, like you said, there are thousands and thousands of things that come into play and you have to look at the relationships and know that just because you have one gene or one mutation, it doesn't mean, oh my gosh, you're doomed.
Well, that was really supplement companies that did fantastic marketing.
Yeah.
When that gene became popular and they're like, oh, this is a perfect way to make a ton of money. 30 to 40% of the population might need this. Cool. We're just going to push MTHFR. You need folate. not true. Sometimes for some people, it'll make it worse. It can you can over methylate. So now we make you feel even worse. You just may not need it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, so there's, it's so much more complex than that, because it's not one symptom or one lab value. It's not one gene. They all interconnect and play with each other. And this gene over here might make up for this gene over here. And so you're just fine.
Right, right. Absolutely. It gets tricky. So definitely having a partner who can help you understand those lab values, you know, if you do need deeper testing, is really, really important. And I want to bounce back for a minute, Michael. You know, we were talking earlier about just because someone's your doctor or your practitioner doesn't mean they're God. And I want to talk about if somebody's dissatisfied in a healthcare relationship, I want to talk about the difference between your practitioner just being a jerk who doesn't listen to you. And that can absolutely happen. Like, those practitioners are out there. The difference between that and the difference between a practitioner perhaps giving you some tough love or saying something that you kind of know you need to hear, but you don't really want to hear, because I think there can be a fine line here. You know, I've heard people say, oh, my therapist or my doctor made me really mad today, so I'm just not going back. And then sometimes when you dig in, you find out that maybe there was a wound that was triggered or something that needs attention and healing, needs to be looked at. But on the other hand, I've also heard of doctors, even therapists and coaches, saying things that are totally inappropriate that go way beyond like touching tender buttons. So as a client, how do you differentiate between being on the receiving end of tough love and maybe something that stings a little bit, or on the other hand, like deciding the relationship is just a bad fit altogether?
Yeah, and I just want to point out something real quick, that really what we're talking about here has nothing to do with medical practitioners. Really just talking about relationships in general. This really applies to any kind of relationship. There's really no difference here. It is a fine line in any relationship, whether it's spouse, friend, or, you know, health practitioner, of you're just being mean and then you're just telling me the thing I need to hear. Again, that's a fine line, because is that person just not listening to you, or are they really there for your best interest? And man, that's a fine line of trying to figure that out. And I think it's just you, again, it comes back to you and self-responsibility and having to step back and saying, why did that upset me? Mm-hmm. Why am I upset by that? And really figuring and sitting in that. Don't jump. Don't be the first thing that jumps out. Probably may not be the right thing. It's usually we've got to sit in something that hurts us for a second to really get past our defense mechanisms to figure out what the truth is. Because usually up front is our defense mechanisms and not the truth. So you oftentimes that first thing that jumps out at you, it's like, well, you know, Susie said this, and oh, it's just because of that. That's usually not the right answer.
Right.
We usually have to sit in that for a moment. And more often than not, I find that with just people in general, they're really there they're trying to help. Now, it may not be what you actually need to hear, but it helps to know their intentions. Their intention really was to help you. Whereas there are those times where people are just being jerks and there was no good intention there. But if we just step back and we don't react instantly and we really try and reflect on that, man, it'll just help you feel better in general as a person. I have made, that is probably the biggest change, is just not reacting to people anymore. To just, whether it was hurtful, harmful, mean, whatever, just stepping back and being like, how... Even if it was mean, it really wasn't intended at me. Most people, when they're mean and nasty, it's really their own stuff manifesting, coming out, being directed at you. And so it's just like, it's at that point, you just start to feel sorry for people. That's like, it's this isn't me, and I get it. You've got to have some pretty bad hurt in there to say something like that.
Absolutely.
So it's tough of... Man, trying to find that line, how to explain that other than just sitting back and seeing again why that hurt you, and then seeing if you can figure out their intention, and then just ask, You know, it once you sat back, ask, you know, why did you say that? Let's see what they say.
That's so important. And it's such a brave conversation to have. I've had to have that conversation with some of my therapists in the past. Like, I found myself triggered by like something that was said in a session. Then I go home and I stew and I'm like, I'm never going back. And then I sit with it, like you said, and it's like, oh, I can see why that hurt me. And that's pushing an old wound. And then going in, and it's a very brave conversation to have. And I'll tell you, like, there was a point in my healing journey where I was not able to have these brave conversations of like, hey, that thing that you said kind of hurt my feelings. And can we talk about what your intention was or what you meant by that? Like, that's a really brave thing to do, but I think it's the healthiest and the best and the most honest thing that we can do.
Definitely. Definitely. It is. It's not easy for sure. And the more personal, again, like I said, we're really just talking about relationships in general here. And the more personal that relationship gets, the more difficult that is. Spouses, holy cow, can that be a difficult conversation to have? But it can make a huge difference in all of those relationships. I mean, I'm one of those people, I'm going to be blunt and probably tell you, I try to do it in a gentle way. Like, I try and be nice about it, but I'm not going to not tell you something if you're someone close to me, because if I think it's going to benefit you. And I've had conversations where we'll have that, they'll get upset at me and I kind of let go and I don't push it. And then a day or two later, they're like, okay, I get it. Like, you're kind of right. I see why you did that. And this is why I reacted and really like, yeah, you were kind of in the right spot. And then it goes from being angry to thanking me. And I'm like, well, this is a weird conversation. But it's just like, I want you to grow. I care about you. I want you to grow and I want you to see these things. And I know sometimes that's going to hurt. There's a tattoo on my back that literally says tough love. So it's, you know, it's
part
of it. Oh
my gosh. I didn't know that. Yep. I don't know why would I know that if you hadn't told me, but that's hilarious. And I love what you said about this is about relationships, period. And I love that you pointed that out, because going back to what we said earlier about people thinking, you know, doctors and healthcare providers and practitioners are God, these are just relationships like any other relationship. But the trend that I see is that we don't look at these like relationships that need healthy boundaries and healthy tending. We tend to look at these relationships, you know, if we're not really sure of ourselves, we tend to look at these relationships of like, they're God and I need to follow their lead because they're going to save me. And really, in order to have the best healthcare experience you can have, it has to be a two-way street. You have to be standing up for yourself, trusting them, just having really open communication. So really, this whole question of like, should you break up with your doctor? Is it a bad fit? You know, it all comes back to communication. And are you able to communicate with your practitioner?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So taking it a step further, let's decide that you have decided that you want to break up with a doctor or a practitioner. You have decided, okay, like this person and me, we're just not jiving. I don't know if they have my best interests in mind. I don't know if they're the person to serve me. How would you recommend going about breaking up with a practitioner? Because I know so many people stay in these relationships way too long. Even when they're dissatisfied, the stories are, you know, it's too difficult to find another doctor. I'm afraid to leave the relationship with this practitioner because I've been in it for so long and it just feels comfortable. Like, there's all kinds of reasons people stay in healthcare relationships that they don't want to be in. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, again, going back to relationships, that sounds really familiar to why people don't want to break up in a spousal relationship.
Yeah.
The dating world is too hard now. I don't want to do the dating apps, or it's just like, it's not that great, but you know, it's uncomfortable. It'll all sound, again, as you're sitting there, I'm like, this just sounds like someone making up excuses for not breaking up with, you know, someone, you know, who's abusive, right? It's, it can be that same journey, and it's tough. It totally is. I get it. And it's funny. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, I'm much better at explaining to practitioners how to break up with clients than I am clients to break up with practitioners. So it's interesting. It goes both ways because it's just a relationship. It's not that someone is necessarily right or wrong, that one person is right or wrong. It's that the match isn't right.
Yeah.
So there's two ways. Realistically, just don't go back to that person. Just don't go. I mean, you could totally, I mean, to take it from, you know, the dating world in terms, you could ghost them. You could just ghost them. There's really no actual responsibility as a patient or client to go back to that person. Even if you prepaid them, now you're just losing your own money.
Right.
So there's not necessarily, you know, you could just stop. You could just stop going. I don't recommend that in most cases. I think you, especially if you've been working with that person for a while, you kind of just, as respect, kind of owe it to them. Just be like, hey, this isn't working out. But it's, you know, again, we could go back to the example of, you know, this person just isn't willing. You know, for example, you show that you're making diet and lifestyle changes, you show that you're tracking your progress and all of these things, and the doctor or the professional still doesn't want to actually help guide you in that, isn't willing to let you do some of these trials, maybe coming off a drug or doing these certain things. But ideally, especially a medical professional who's a prescribing physician, their goal should be health. And if you were obtaining health, which we know that every single drug has a negative to it. They all have side effects. They have potential damage to liver and kidney because we have to detox these things. So none of these are free of problems. So if we can control this without a medication, that should always be the goal. And if you're willing to do that, they should be willing to help you in that journey. If they're not, that's what you want, then you know this person isn't right for you. It's like, hey, I appreciate all this help that you've given me, and I appreciate you, you know, working alongside me, but I really want to find someone who's in line with what I'm trying to do and in line with my goals. And if you're not willing to help me with that, then I don't think this is the right relationship. I don't think this is the right connection. And understanding, at the end of the day, they work for you. Like, you are your boss. We have to remember that we're our own advocate and we're our own boss. Like, we are hiring them to help us.
Yeah.
They aren't paying you. You're paying them.
Yeah. I've had, I actually had an experience in the past really early on in my own healing journey. I was seeing somebody. It really didn't feel like a good match. This was a very long time ago. But I was afraid to stop going because I was worried if I told her that I didn't want to come anymore, that I would hurt her feelings. And then I realized at some point, I am paying her to not hurt her feelings. Like, how messed up is that? I'm going to pay you so I don't hurt your feelings.
Yeah. And again, like, and I don't know, maybe I'm just a selfish person. I don't know, but I've argued the point that everything is selfish, that at the end of the day, we only do good things for other people because it makes us feel good. So really, is there really ever a selfless act? But why is her feelings and emotions more important than your healing and your journey? At the end of the day, this is you're here for you, for your journey, for your healing, for your recovery and wellness. So why sacrifice that? Because you might hurt another person's feelings who's not willing to help you the way that you want to go about.
Exactly. And you said something like 3 minutes ago, it was like the perfect script for breaking up with a practitioner in a really healthy way. Maybe I'll go pull that and make it into a PDF download that people can just take to their doctor and read. But I love what you spelled out a couple minutes ago about just, you know, ending the relationship in a really healthy way. And you mentioned ghosting, you know, and I think if you're in a situation with a practitioner who really, really isn't hearing you and really is not willing to have a conversation, and those relationships are out there and I have seen them and I know about them, unfortunately, I've experienced them. My clients have told me about relationships that they've experienced with practitioners where they really just don't get a say. I mean, that's a case where, sure, ghost them. Just don't go back. Just cut the cord. But if it's somebody that you have a relationship with and you talk to them, you know, it is it's often the more respectful thing to do to not ghost somebody, but to have a really mature conversation with them about, hey, you know, I'm going to go try this other thing now. So we could retitle, I'm not going to title this the relationship episode, but I could retitle it the relationship episode, because we tend to put these healthcare relationships in a box and think that they're somehow different from all the other relationships in our life, but it really all boils down to communication, making sure it's the right fit, and being your own advocate. It's just like life skills, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like you said, that's the perfect description. We think it's something completely different, that it's this whole different entity. And so we instantly, because we do that, we think it's a whole different skill set of how to manage and balance that. And then, but if you step back, it's just like, this is just any other relationship. This is just basic relationship skills of communication, like, is key. What relationship book does not talk about communication as the most important factor, right? Like, that is the biggest theme of every relationship book, is talk, like, just communicate, say what you're feeling and thinking, get it out. And it's the same way. If you're frustrated with your doctor, tell them, hey, I'm really frustrated. I feel like you're not listening to me. Say that. Heck, if you're not saying that in your spousal relationship, say it. Like, these things can go the same way. And so it really is. Like, whether you use this information in other relationships, or you understand other relationships and you now implement that into your healthcare team, it goes both ways.
Absolutely. It's just a great skill to develop overall. Michael, if somebody is searching for a new practitioner, do you have any tips on how they can make sure that they find the right fit and how to better determine a good match from the get-go? I know earlier you talked about potentially interviewing several practitioners before you dive in with somebody. Do you have any tips on that?
You know, so I know there is a big discrepancy amongst practitioners about this. I am on the foot as a, from the client side. And so I also do this as a practitioner. They're not willing to have a free or very low cost, just kind of conversation interview style thing with you. I'd mark them off. I don't care how high up on the list they are of how, and how highly recommended they are. If they're not willing to just see if this is just a normal good fit, because this is a relationship, I'm not going to give them my time. If they're not willing to just invest 15 minutes in that to see if this is even a good fit, and they just want to see me as another client or patient, then I'm not the person for them. Like, they're not the person for me. So, and I know there's a lot of practitioners, both that don't have a huge practice and some that have a huge practice, that do both. They do consults like that and they don't. I know some of the top functional medicine doctors who still have that interview process to see if this is a good fit. And I think that's a really good example as to why any practitioner, even if you're just getting started or you have a decent practice, if they're able to still do that, I think you can work it in. So again, if they're not willing to, I think that's the first thing. Are they willing to have that either at a really low cost or even free, just 15, 20, even 30 minute conversation, just to see if it jives right? Because you can usually get that feel for someone pretty quick. Like, is this, do I feel like they hear me? Do I feel like we can connect on that? And if not, that's a really big sign. Again, I tell practitioners for the same reason. I don't want to get stuck working with a client that I'm not going to jive with for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, that is not what I want to look for. I want to look forward to my client calls, every single one of them. And I don't want to be like, oh man, I got to talk to Johnny again. Like, crap, what is it going to be this time? And I can use 90% of the time, I avoid that by having that initial call with them and saying, like, as a practitioner, if I sense that this isn't working, I will find some reason that I am not a good fit for them. I'll never be like, yeah, I'm not jiving you, dude. Like, this isn't going to work. Like, I'm never going to make it like that. It's always gonna be like, oh man, I hear you. I see the problems that you're dealing with and what you want to work on. And I don't know if I'm going to work for that. I'd love to give you a couple of referrals if you want. And so as a practitioner, it's a really gentle, easy way to reject someone, which is really tough, especially if you don't have a thriving practice, because you are literally sending money out the door. And it's the scariest thing in the world to do when you just get started. But it's one of the most important things you can do, because again, dragging yourself down for one client is going to hurt all of your other clients in your practice. It's not what we want. I think just as a patient or a client, it's just having the interview and seeing how that feels. And if you feel like they're hearing you and seeing you, then I think it's worth giving it a shot. It may not end up working out, but you might at least get some progress in somewhere and start to see something with that person.
Absolutely. I think definitely taking advantage of free consult calls with people. I still offer them in my practice because I want to make sure it's a good fit both ways. I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to help the person. I want to make sure the person feels comfortable with me. So always just get on the phone, you know, and if you get on the phone with three different practitioners, you know, that's might be less than an hour of your time total. And it can seem daunting, but I think finding that good fit with somebody who's going to be on your team is just so, so important.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. And it's not like you kind of alluded to earlier, or you know, you have clients coming in like, oh man, I can't imagine sharing my whole story with three people. Like, it's not that you have to, we're not sharing those aren't meant for really even sharing details and trying to get help. It's just kind of a little bit of like, hey, this is kind of what I'm dealing with and what I'd like to work with. And just seeing communication wise in a relationship, how that works. You know, it's like speed dating, right? Like, you're not going to see, you know, how well physically you guys, you know, are compatible. Like, that is not the point of speed dating. It's just like,
it's
hey,
not?
Like, it's not 7 minutes in heaven when you go speed dating. Like, it is just meant to see if there is some kind of spark, some kind of connection. I don't know. I've never done speed dating. Maybe it is 7 minutes in heaven. I don't know. I've seen it in movies and that's never how it's been. So I'm guessing.
I've been married for a decade now. I don't know what the kids are doing these days. Wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I went looking in the primal health coach community for a spouse. So I was like, yeah, that whole app dating thing sounds weird. So I was just like, I'm going to reach out and see what happens.
Who wants to cook me some beef liver?
No, who likes beef liver? I'll cook it. That's fine.
Do you want to ferment some things with me?
Pretty much.
Oh my gosh. Michael, anything else that you want to add before we wrap up today?
No, I think it just comes down to you've got to start kind of bucking it up and put yourself first and realize you're in control. And until you start to see that, your healing journey is just going to be difficult. No matter who your practitioner is, how amazing they are, they're not your Superman. Like, they're just not, they can help you. They can hold your hand a little bit and walk you down, but you're the one who has to walk through that door and actually make the changes and stand up for yourself.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Michael, if we want to find you, stalk you, look for photos of your back tattoo on the internet, where can we find you? Where can we hang out with you? Where can we learn what you're up to?
All right, so let's see. So we've got a couple different places. You can find me personally on Instagram. It's probably the best and most accurate way, which is just Rutherford_NTP. I think that's, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. You can find me on Facebook. I will warn you, I have to look for a middle-aged white guy with a beard and dark hair who has twins in the picture. I have twin boys. They're going to be 5 in 2 days. By the time this actually airs, they'll already be 5, but that's okay.
Happy birthday, boys.
But I always put that, and the reason why I say that is because I'm pretty big in a ketogenic community, and there is a guy who has been selling exogenous ketones for one of the bigger companies for quite a long time. He was one of the first guys to really get into it, and he is a middle-aged white guy with a beard and dark hair who is named Michael Rutherford.
No way.
Yeah, I've been mixed up with him several times. Yeah, I've been mixed up with him for several times. Yeah.
In the same niche, like in the keto world and everything?
Yep.
That is crazy.
Like, big time practitioners complain because they get false accounts. You can get those shut down. I can't get him shut down. Like, he's a real person.
He's a real dude.
But you can find me on Facebook. So that's why I always tell people, I always have my twins in the picture with me. So it'll be me and the twins in some form. So you can find me that way. You can also find, again, I work with my dad's company. We work with truck drivers. So the website there is, and people are going to be like, this has nothing to do with health, but it's letstruck.com. There is health stuff there. There's tons of health stuff there, but there's also just generic truck business stuff. So it's sometimes
I know truckers love my podcast. I have so many truckers tuning in to MindSpeak.
Hey, you will. We will. I will be sharing this in there because this is a conversation a lot of them need to hear for sure. So you might be surprised how many truckers you're going to have listening to your podcast pretty soon.
I'm not going to do my trucker accent or make terrible trucker jokes because I want to welcome all these truckers with open arms.
And we have a pretty big female population too. So it's okay. We talk about Kelly Rogan's book and all kinds of stuff in there. So it's interesting to see. We are getting some more, we're getting these truck drivers to be more and more woo woo. We've got them, you know, grounding and all kinds of stuff. So it's pretty fun.
But you can find amazing.
Us at letstruck.com. You can find our Facebook group. If you just search Destination Health, you're going to find our Facebook page, which is Destination Health with Kevin Rutherford, who's my dad, and Destination Health Tribe, which is our Facebook group. Those pop up first because our Facebook group is like almost 22,000 now. So it's definitely the large population. So you can definitely find us there. I highly encourage it. I mean, goodness, we create courses for health. We have a keto course, a digestive course, a metabolic syndrome course. And so we have a website for those. So you could go to learn.letstruck.com. So there's lots of different ways you can find us, if the simplest way. And then you can ask me how you find all of that other stuff is just finding me on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's the single route.
We'll be sure to link that up in the show notes, and I'll tag you next week on all these terrible memes I'm going to make about your back tattoo.
Yes, do it. I'll even get you the picture. I'm pretty sure you can still find the picture on Instagram, or not on Instagram. I don't even think Instagram was created then. It was like 2008. Yeah, I don't think Instagram was, but Facebook was around. I'm pretty sure there's a picture on Facebook, but I can get you a picture. We can just make it a whole meme. It's okay.
Oh, we'll do a really terrible campaign. I'll lose like half my followers. It'll be incredible. Oh my gosh. Man. Well, thanks so much for coming on today, Michael. It was a pleasure. Thanks for your wisdom and your relationship advice, because that's what this boils down to. So really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Awesome. Take care. All right. That does it for this week. Thank you, Michael, for coming on the show. And just to recap real quick, remember that even when you're seeking care, you are in charge. You are paying the money. You're the one doing the healing. So advocate for yourself. Be willing to have those difficult, icky, uncomfortable conversations if you ever need to have them. Be willing to ask questions. Be willing to advocate for yourself. And finally, when you're looking for a holistic practitioner or a non-holistic practitioner, any kind of practitioner, be willing to shop around. Make a few phone calls. Do a few consult calls. It's better to get matched up with somebody from the get-go who's a better fit and to do a little legwork in the beginning to make sure you're getting that good fit than to be in a relationship with a practitioner 6 months down the line and say, you know what, this isn't going how I wanted it to go. And you know what, darn it, I had a feeling about this in the beginning that it wasn't going to go that way, because your intuition, even if it feels cloudy, is usually spot on. So listen to that. Come get connected on Instagram. I'm over at Holly Fisher Higgins. You can find Michael over at Rutherford. Oh my gosh. At Rutherford_NTP. You can also go to mindspeakpodcast.com. I've got some free downloads for you there. Self-sabotage audio and ebook. And that'll do it for this week. Until next time. Go believe in you. I do.